All right. If you guys want to grab your Bibles and turn to Exodus 20, we're going to read a few verses from Exodus 20 about the Sabbath. So how many of you have ever thought about, talked about, been at a church that talked about honoring the Sabbath? Okay, handful of you. How many of you have no idea what it is? Okay. So there was a guy that went to church and called the pastor on Monday, and the pastor wasn't there. So on Tuesday, the guy called back and he said, "Hey, pastor, I tried to call yesterday and nobody picked up." And the pastor said, "Well, Monday's my day off." He said, "So that's why nobody was here." And the guy said, "Really? You took Monday off?" He goes, "I don't know you know or not, but Satan doesn't take a day off." And the pastor said, "Exactly. God took a day off, and I would rather be like God than like Satan," right? The Sabbath is an interesting concept, right? And the reality is this, that when it comes to the Sabbath, no other commandment gets the attention within the Jewish teaching than the Sabbath does. When you talk about the Sabbath, you are talking about the epicenter of everything Jewish rabbinical law is built on. It is such an overpowering issue that it was the single issue in the New Testament that tipped the Jews over to decide they'd had enough of Jesus and they left plotting to kill him. The Sabbath is a big deal. It was a big deal for the Israelites. The question is, what's it mean to you and me as Christians in 2024? So let's talk about it. I'm going to ask you to stand. Let's read the verses. You can find them also in Deuteronomy 5. We'll cover a little bit of that, but let's read them from Exodus, the fourth commandment. "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath, a Shabbat, to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your manservant or your maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien or stranger within your gate. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them. But he rested," nuach in the Hebrew, "he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." You can be seated. So we got a lot to cover. I've got 39 minutes and I've got 4 points. So buckle up, all right? Let's get through it. Foundations. Let's set the foundation of the Sabbath, right? 3 foundational principles for the Sabbath. The first one is work, right? Work. 6 days you shall labor. That is a foundational principle of the Sabbath to the Jewish nation. In Genesis 2, right, we know that Scripture tells us this. It says in Genesis 2, "Before the law ever came, the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." So the principle is of work, and another foundational principle is of creation. 6 days, God made it all, and on the seventh, he rested. Right? He took a Shabbat, which means to cease, right? To end, right? He took that rest. That's a principle of the Sabbath for the Jewish people. Here's another principle. In Deuteronomy 5, where these commandments are re-spoken, says this: "Remember," he tells them to honor the Sabbath, right? He tells them this is the reason why. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath or the rest day. Why? Because these guys have been slaves for 400 and some years, right? And all they'd known was work. So when you talk about the Sabbath, back when Moses gave it, here are the three principles or the foundational principles, right, that it is built on. First, work. 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh you shall rest. Here's why. God made heaven and earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he ceased from that activity. And, by the way, I brought you out of the land of Egypt. Right? And God has commanded to honor the Sabbath. Those are the three foundational principles. Everybody clear on that? Say yes. All right. Now, I want you to see how unbelievably ferocious God is about people honoring the Sabbath. Right? You can skip Exodus 20, verse 9 there, right? Look at the ferocity. Let me read just three passages from the Old Testament. You can find bunches of them, all right? But I just want to read three, you'll get the picture. Exodus 31 says this. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. They will be a sign between me and you, right, for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath, because it's holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it," read it with me, church, "must be put." God's pretty serious about the Sabbath, is he not? He goes on to say this, "Whoever does any work on that day must be cut off from his people. For 6 days, work is to be done. On the seventh day, it's to be a Sabbath of rest." It is to be a cessation, right? So these two words in the Hebrew are different, and we'll get to them, right? But it is to be a cessation, right? So there can be a certain kind of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, say it with me, must be put to death. The Israelites, it says, are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as, say it with me, as a lasting covenant. So not only is God ferocious about this, it's a lasting covenant. It's part of the reason why we're talking about the Ten Commandments, because God's word is eternal, right? It says it'll be a sign, right? The Sabbath now becomes a sign. It'll be a sign between me and the Israelites forever, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he abstained from work and he rested. When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Sinai, he gave them the two tablets of the testimony, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God." Listen to Jeremiah. Jeremiah says this about the Sabbath, right? He's recounting Israel's sins. "But if you do not obey me to keep the Sabbath day holy by not carrying any load as you come through the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle an unquenchable fire in the gates of Jerusalem that will consume her fortresses." Ezekiel said this, starting in verse 10, "Therefore I led them out of Egypt," God's recounting what he did for Israel. "I led them out of Egypt, I brought them into the desert. I gave them my decrees and made known to them my laws, for the man who obeys them will live by them. I also gave them my Sabbaths," because there was a Sabbath weekly, and there was also a Sabbath of years for the land, right? You can read in Leviticus, "But every 6 years you were to farm the ground, and on the seventh year you were to let the ground remain idle so it could rest, and then you could work it for 6 days. He says, "I gave them my Sabbath as a sign between us so they would know that I, the Lord, made them holy." That's key. The Sabbath was a sign, right? Was a covenant between them, right? And what was it to indicate to the nations around them? That God had set them apart. Everybody say, set them apart. Absolutely huge principle of the Sabbath, right? He says, "The people of Israel rebelled against me in the desert. They didn't follow my decrees, but they rejected my laws, although the man who obeys them will live by them, and they utterly desecrated my Sabbaths. So I said, I'll pour out my wrath on them, and I'll destroy them in the desert. I said to their children in the desert, don't follow the statutes of your fathers or keep their laws or defile yourselves with their idols. I'm the Lord your God. Follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Keep my Sabbath holy that there may be a sign between us, and then you will know that I am the Lord your God. But the children rebelled against God. They didn't follow the decrees. They were not careful to keep my laws. Although the man who obeys them will live by them, and they desecrated my Sabbath. So I said, I would pour out my wrath on them and spend my anger against them in the desert. Listen, you can read over and over again in the Old Testament, and here's what you're gonna find. God is ferocious about these people keeping the Sabbath, right? I mean, listen, if you desecrate the Sabbath, they're to die. Serious, yes or no? Absolutely, right? God says it's a sign. He says it's a sign between us, a sign signifying I have made you holy. I have set you apart. And he says, and since you didn't do it, I'm gonna pour out my wrath on you. God's serious about this commandment, yes or no? 100%, 100%. Comes up over and over in the prophet's testimony of the failure of this nation, right? Matter of fact, it was so significant that when Israel was brought into captivity, or Judah was brought into captivity to Babylon, they remained in captivity for 70 years. And according to the prophet Jeremiah, that 70 years was no joke. It was 70 because for 490 years, they had violated the commandment to give the land rest. And God said, I'm gonna get those 70 years back. The 70 Sabbaths that you took from my land, I'm gonna get them back. And for 70 years, you'll be in captivity in Babylon. God's pretty serious about his Sabbath, yes or no, right? So let's try to connect a couple things because it's 2024. How many of you are Jews by birth, physical birth, right? None of us, right? So what does it mean for you and me as believers in Jesus in 2024? Let's read some scriptures. I want to connect a couple things. This might be a little clunky. I'm not sure how it's going to go, but I want you to see this, okay? So go back to Genesis 2. This is a pretty interesting concept in scripture. Genesis 2 says this. By the seventh day, God had finished what? Work. Again, foundational principle of the Sabbath is work, right? Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't what? He shouldn't eat. There's a basic biblical principle of work, right? It's the curse. Genesis 3. The curse for man, for their sin, is that they would work and till the ground, right? But God finished the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested. Not like we rest, but he ceased from his work, right? He ceased from all of his work, okay? So that's what he did. He rested. That is the Greek or the Hebrew word Shabbat, right? Or Shabbat, it means to cease, right? To come to an end. It came to mean because you can infer because something's over, you can rest, right? But the word itself means to cease. Now I want you to look what happens in verse 15. It says this in Genesis 2:15. The Lord took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to what? Work, to work it and take care of it, right? That was what he was supposed to be, what he was supposed to be doing. Is there another verse there? Yes, no, go back to Genesis 2:15. Okay, everybody, the Lord took the man, and now say these next three words with me, put him in. That Hebrew word comes from the Hebrew word nuach, which means to rest. It's interpreted all throughout the Old Testament multiple times to mean to settle. And here's what happens, God worked and then he rested, meaning he ceased it. And then he took man and put him in the garden and said, work it, right? And put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. He said, I'm gonna settle you, I'm gonna rest you, right, in the Garden of Eden to work it. Let me read Exodus 20 to connect it for you. Remember the Sabbath day, Shabbat, rest, cease day, by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath or Shabbat to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son nor your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your animals, or the alien within your gates. Check this out. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that's in them. But he what? Rested. That's not Shabbat. That's nuach in the Hebrew. So God worked and he rested. He ceased his work so that he could what? Rest on the seventh day. What? He could be settled. He could be at peace. It's the same Hebrew word used to describe what happened to the ark when it finally landed on dry ground. Genesis 8:4 says it rested, meaning it came to settle, right? We infer from being settled that it's restful, right? These two concepts are constantly connected in the Old Testament. And that is this: you work and then you rest, you cease. And in that ceasing, there is a settling. There is a, right? It's a word to describe what it's like as opposed to punching out after five or working 9 to 5. That is Shabbat, cease. Nuach is the idea that I show up at grandma's house and I'm there for Christmas vacation and I unpack my suitcase and I settle in. That's the Hebrew word there for rest. And these two concepts are connected in the Old Testament, that there's a ceasing of work and then there's a settling that comes after, a comfortability factor. Check this out. Matthew 11 says this. Skip Exodus 10. Go to Matthew chapter 11. I want you to hear what Jesus says. Come to me, all you who are weary and what? Burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. He says, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden, right? My labor, my toil in the Greek is light. Even Jesus connected these two things. He connected the idea that there is a work that is connected to Jesus, that is light. And it gives us what? Rest. And that rest is the rest of feeling settled. Of feeling settled. One of the things I want you to see that's connected in this Sabbath idea is that there is a ceasing of work that is the Sabbath, right? The end of the work, which gives us our idea of Sabbath. But then there's a Sabbath of settling in. I'm going to leave church tonight, Lord willing. I'm going to take a drive and clear my head. And then I'm going to go home. And when I go home, I'm going to change my clothes. I'm going to find something to eat. And I'm going to go to my second living room. We call it the bear cave, okay? I am going to put my feet up. I'm going to turn my TV on. And I'm going to watch basketball. I am going to rest. Why? Because my work, my labor, my toil has ceased. And once that ceasing happens, now I can find some what? Peace. Or what? Rest. Those two concepts are constantly connected together in Scripture. Part of what God hoped would happen in the Sabbath for the Jews was this, that if work will cease, they can finally feel settled. These people were slaves in bondage to Egyptian masters for almost 5 centuries. These people had no peace. They had no rest. God went, you're my people, and I'm going to take you out to be my people. And in becoming my people, I want you to feel settled. I want you to find that rest that comes from my presence. But to do that, you have to what? You have to cease from work. You have to find a place of completion and stop, and then you can feel settled. Man, if you're an Israelite coming out of Egypt and having been a slave, that was going to be a hard sell, don't you think? I mean, how many of you have retired in here? Did anybody struggle retiring? Yeah, read the statistics. People struggle. Why? Because once work ceases, we don't know how to what? We don't know how to rest. We don't know how to find peace. Biblically, God constantly connects this idea that if you will take a break from the work, Jews, if you take a break from the work that you're to do 6 days and you cease or Shabbat, take a Sabbath, then you can feel what? Settled. You can feel settled. That's an important concept because Jesus says the same thing. He says, come to me. Come to me. If you're burdened, that word means toil or labor. He says, come to me, those of you that are overworked, and I will give you what? I will give you rest. I will give you that sense of settled. Jesus, according to Scripture, is our peace, and we are his home. Part of the reason why the Sabbath existed was to give these people a sense of peace and settled, but they never got it. Listen, I've been around people that work nonstop, right? You know these people. Hey, how's it going? Oh, I'm busy, 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 busy. Right? Next to people who give you their resume all the time, who are the most annoying people in the world, can we agree on that? I mean, you can't talk to them without them constantly telling you about their resume. The second most annoying people are the people that tell you about their calendar, right? Oh man, I'm so busy. Blah, 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 gotta do that, right? Drive you crazy. If you ever been around somebody that works like that, they have no what? They have no peace and they have no life. They're constantly unsettled. They're on the go. And guess what? Everything around them resonates that. One of the primary purposes of the Sabbath was to end that in these Israelites so that they would find an end to work so they could find a beginning of peace. What a powerful commandment that God cared about, to give these people that thing, to give them that sense of peace and to feel settled. If you're retired and you finally figured out how to live well in retirement, tell me, would you rather work or would you rather be retired? Almost everybody who figures out how to be retired well goes, let me be what? Retired. Don't make me, right, have a job, right? That principle's important because Jesus says it's now connected to him, which makes this last point what you and I need to take away from the Sabbath, right? Did God take you out of Egypt? Were you slaves in Egypt for 400 plus years, yes or no? Nope, he did not, right? Were you tasked with building the tabernacle and the temple? Yes or no? No. And the Sabbath laws, right, which there are 39 categories, right? I think I have a picture. There are categories, 39 categories under Jewish law that prohibit certain kinds of work, right? This is called the Melakot, right? Oftentimes translated in Hebrew, work, right? But basically what this is, it's a table of 39 categories that you can't participate in. And the Jews were so serious about Shabbat that they created 39 categories of things you couldn't do, all based on the work of the temple, right? All based on everything that had to be done to set up the temple. And so there were 39 of these things. There are 27 manuals that describe the 613 laws that the Jews had. Three of those manuals were all about the Sabbath because they argued. So here's a category, kindling. They would sit and talk for hours about what work would go into kindling. And they would break kindling down into all of these different rules of things you could and couldn't do when it came to violating the Sabbath with kindling. It's craziness, right? Here, let me read some of these categories to you. It says, plowing, sowing, reaping, gathering, threshing, winnowing, sorting, grinding, sifting, amalgamation, baking, and cooking. Those are the first 11, right? Those were things prohibited according to Jewish law because you were to do no work on the Sabbath. So this is what they decided. There were 39 of these categories. Do you realize that they debated this stuff so much that they decided that pulling out a gray hair was a violation of the Sabbath? Because it was a violation of one of these categories. They took something and they made it unbelievably difficult. By the time Jesus showed up, the Jewish rabbis and Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes had learned their lesson from God about the Sabbath. And they decided they were going to take this thing serious. And by the time Jesus showed up, they had taken this thing so serious, it had become a major problem for everybody around. So I want to read a couple scriptures to you, right? Here's the last one, finally, right? Finally, look at Mark 2. Mark 2. On Sabbath, right, on Shabbat, Jews, right, or Jesus was going through the grain fields. And you can look on the list, right? You can look on the list and threshing and gathering and reaping are 3, 4, and 5 as far as importance. Winnowing is 6th and sorting is 7 and 8 is grinding and 9 is sifting. Okay, these were in order of importance. Jesus goes through the grain field. So all of a sudden, the Jews know these categories and they're like, let's watch. And as his disciples walked along, good Jewish boys who knew this melicot, they began to pick some of the heads of grain. Whoa, 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 whoa. Number 4 is gathering. That's not allowed on the Sabbath. They don't even mention stealing because it's not their field. They're freaked out about the Sabbath because look what happens. The Pharisees said, look, why are they doing what's unlawful on the Sabbath? What they do, they walk through a grain field and they pick the head of grain. But because of what the melicot says, that gathering is wrong, they just violated the commandment. You shall do no work on the Sabbath. And if you do, the person that violates it should be put to what? Death. Look at this. Jesus said, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, David took his fighting men into the house of God and they ate the consecrated bread, the showbread in the temple, right? It's only lawful for priests to eat that. And he also gave some of that bread to his companions. Then he said to them, everybody read this with me, everybody online, everybody here. The Sabbath was made man, not man for the Sabbath. And then he says this, so the Son of Man is what? Lord or boss or authority even of the Sabbath. Now, just guessing, if you make 39 categories and then you have 3 complete journals to discuss what these categories actually cover, to make sure that people honor the Sabbath, and Jesus and his 12 rugrats go into the field to steal the grain, and what they do is they rub it together so that the chaff will blow away, and then they eat the kernels. Let's see. Reaping, gathering, threshing, winnowing, sorting, grinding, sift. They violated them all. And they're freaking out. And Jesus says this about the Sabbath. Calm down, fellas. The Sabbath was made for mankind, not mankind to honor or to live under the burden of the Sabbath, right? He makes it clear that there's something different here now. We read it. Was God serious about this commandment? Yes or no? Incredibly serious. God shows up in the flesh and disregards the Sabbath. I mean, he disregarded 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 in one movement. The very next thing he does is he heals a guy who has a withered hand on the Sabbath. And at the end of that passage, it says the Jews left to find the Herodians so they could plot to kill Jesus. It was his violation of the Sabbath that tipped them over. So what's the point? Let's read this scripture together. Hebrews 3. This is the writer of Hebrews writing to Jewish people. Okay, we're talking about living in the new covenant now. You can go and read Jesus over and over again, Matthew 12, Luke 6, Mark 2, right? You can find where Jesus just violates the Sabbath and they freak out about it, right? Hebrew writer says this, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Encourage one another daily, as long as it's called what? Today, right? He says, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end with the confidence we had at first. And just as it's been said, today," everybody say today. "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion." He's referring to that time where they came to the Jordan River and he sent the 12 spies over and he said to them, "You need to cross over. That's the promised land. I'm giving it to you. I'll fight for you." And they went, "Sorry, no. We want to go back to Egypt." He says, don't harden your heart in the day of that rebellion. And to whom, listen to this, "and to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who," what? "Disobeyed." Those Israelites from year 20 up didn't get into the promised land. They didn't get into his rest. He says, so we see that they were not able to enter because of their disobedience was reflected in this. "I don't trust you, God." God says, "That's yours, go, I've got it covered." "Nope, we don't trust you." He says, you don't enter because of their unbelief. That's huge, because now he goes into chapter 4. He's talking to Christians, right? He says this, "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let's be careful that none of us," right, "or none of you be found to have fallen short of it." So here's what he's saying, right? He's going to explain it real quick here. He says this, there is a rest that still hasn't been taken. There is a Sabbath, a Shabbat that's still out there to be taken. What are you supposed to do for 6 days to get the Sabbath? You're supposed to what? You're supposed to work. He says there's still a Shabbat out there and the Israelites didn't enter it because they were disobedient, because they did not what? Everybody say believe. They didn't believe. And because of their unbelief, they didn't enter the promised land rest. So there's still a rest out there for those of us that are working. And he says this, "For we have had the gospel preached to us." If you've heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus, say amen. He says, thank you, 14 people said it. How many of you had the gospel preached to you? Amen. Right? Good news, yes or no? Yeah, right? We've had the gospel preached to us just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard it didn't combine it with what? Faith. They didn't believe. Now, we who have believed, if you believe in Jesus, let me hear you say amen. So this is me and you. Now, we who have believed enter that, right? Shabbat. Right? Just as God has said, so I declared on oath in my anger, they will not enter my Sabbath. They won't enter my Shabbat, my ceasing. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere, the writer says, he spoke about the seventh day in these words. Seventh day, God rested from all of his work. We just read it, Genesis 2. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains. Everybody say that with me. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them didn't go in because of the disobedience of disbelief. So God has set a certain day, and he calls it what day? Today, when a long time later, he spoke through David. So this was way back in Exodus, Moses. Now we're in David's time. And David says today in Psalm 95, recounting the story, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your what? Your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, meaning when we enter the promised land, we could rest. That's what the promised land was. It was God's rest for the Israelites journeying across the desert and getting out of bondage. He says, if Joshua had given them rest, God wouldn't have spoken about another later day. Meaning, if this was accomplished when the Israelites went into the promised land, which they did, David wouldn't have said it 1,000 years later, today, don't harden your hearts, because he says there's still a rest out there. So this couldn't have been the final fulfillment, the promised land. There's still one out there. There remains then a what? Sabbath rest for the people of God. So for you and me, there's a Sabbath out there. And what does he say? For anyone who enters God's rest, also rest from his own what? Work. Why? Because the principle is you work 6 days, and on the seventh, you rest, right? He says, since the rest is still out there, meaning we're still in the 6 days, he says, as long as there's a rest out there, we haven't ceased from our work. So metaphorically or figuratively, we're still in the 6 days. He says, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore, right? Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of what? Disobedience. God said, remember the Sabbath. The Hebrew word means to mark it so you can remember it. He says, make sure that after 6 days of work, you mark this day so you can observe it. Why? Because it's holy. Well, why is it holy? Because God worked 6 days and rested on the seventh. Because God delivered you from Egypt. Because it's a sign between me and you that you are special. I've set you apart. God says, if you desecrate it, you should die. If you violate it as a nation, I'll pour out my anger on you. God takes the Sabbath serious. Yes or no? Huge, huge, right? Jesus comes along and he picks grain on the Sabbath, rubs his hand together, breaks the shell, allows it to be chaff, and they eat the kernels. And the Jews say, why are you violating the Sabbath? And Jesus says, the Sabbath, check this out, the Sabbath, which Sabbath? The Jewish Sabbath that Moses talked about. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It was designed to benefit the person, not to benefit the command. And then he says, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Now listen how Paul wraps it up in Colossians 2. Therefore, don't let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, right? Or with regard to a religious festival or a new moon celebration or a what? Sabbath day. No judgment. Now, we live in a world today where there are churches, right, that honor the Sabbath. And I don't know if you've been around them often, but they tend to be judgy. Because if you don't honor the Sabbath, they get pretty, I mean, I remember when Christian churches started having church on Saturday night and people went crazy because we weren't, quote, honoring the Sabbath. And yet those same churches had church on Wednesday night. Makes no sense, right? Here's what he says about the Sabbath and religious festivals and new moons. They're not real. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. So here's the thing about the Sabbath. You and I aren't bound to the command that God gave these Israelites in its form. We're not. Jesus made that incredibly clear. Paul confirms it. They're simply shadows of things to come. If you read Romans 14, it says, listen, there's no day more important than another day, right? Just doesn't happen. We have church on Wednesday, Tuesday, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. I don't know if you've been to those services, but they're all fantastic. Somebody say amen, right? The days aren't important. Ultimately, what's important to us is Jesus, amen? And Jesus says, I'm the fulfillment of all that stuff. So how do you and I keep the Sabbath? By making it holy. Here's how. By not failing to believe. Because what the Hebrew writer says was, here's how you dishonor the Sabbath. You don't believe. Believe in what? Don't believe in Jesus. You don't put your faith in him. Because if you don't, you don't get to get into the rest. And just so we're clear, the final rest that we get from God is called what? Heaven. And here's the thing. We haven't worked 6 days yet, so we don't get the Sabbath rest yet. So Paul says, therefore, right? He says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your work is not what? In vain. How many of you know Jesus? Say amen. Amen. Then guess what? We haven't entered our Sabbath rest yet. Meaning, if we're not Sabbathing, if we're not resting, we should be what? Working. You want to honor the Sabbath as a Christian? Work the work that God sent you to do. Your day off doesn't matter. It's not a Sabbath, right? You can call it whatever you want to. It's just a day off. You get vacations, you get PTO time, PLO time, you get a sick day, whatever. Take them. Your body needs to rest, but it's not a Sabbath. Sabbath comes when we enter into the final rest that God's promised for us, for those of us that know Jesus. Somebody say amen. And in the meantime, before we get to Sabbath, we should be what? Working. And I'm not talking about your 9-to-5 job you punch in through Monday through Friday. I'm talking about the work that God's called his church to do. Right? You and I are to be working, doing what God has said to do. Jesus said in John 6, I have a work that you know not of. And while it's day, he says, I'm going to be about that work. It's the same for you and I. If we want to honor the Sabbath as Christian people, first and foremost, we work. We haven't had our Sabbath yet. Second of all, don't miss the rest. Don't miss the Sabbath because you refuse to believe. If you're online or in here and you don't know Jesus, you don't have a rest. You have zero rest promised you. The only way to know that rest is to know Jesus. And those of you that know Jesus, there's only one thing you need to do to get to the rest, work. Amen, church? So Father, today my prayer is for us to be at work. There is a Sabbath rest coming. There's a seventh day coming. There's a day where all of this work will cease and you will simply call the workers home. So my prayers for everybody watching, everybody in here that's a believer, God, that they would be motivated more than ever to work, to honor you so they can receive the Sabbath. And for those that don't know you, God, who aren't promised this rest, man, would you sick the power of your spirit and the power of your word into their heart? We pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. God bless you, church. See you next week.